education, incarceration. I've been asked to write on education and incarceration and the linkages between them. I've heard and read of the pipeline between the two, but I don't really agree with this imagery. I'll tell you why. Several days ago, I received a letter from a young man who dropped out of school around the 10th grade. Why? It isn't just that he was bored, but the stuff was meaningless to him. It wasn't until years later, when he heard and read of history, that which he had never heard of in school, it fired and inspired him enough that he got his GED and is now in college. That's not a pipeline. For today's educational system is a prison, where bodies are locked within cells we call rooms, and minds are locked within lies and ignorance, while spirits wither into dead husks. Schools have become places where minds are sent to die. I'm going to cheat now, but don't be surprised, for I'm doing what both students and teachers now have to do to escape the travesty and tragedy of the testing mania that's ravaging schools today. Under Obama, just as under Bush, to enrich corporate educational plunderers. I'm telling you I'm cheating by leaving my words and going to one of the greatest educators and scholars of the 19th and 20th centuries. I speak of W.E.B. Du Bois. Du Bois taught at some of the finest universities in America, Atlanta University, Fisk University, and the University of Pennsylvania, where he lectured. But in what I regard as his finest work, Darkwater, 1920, Du Bois described how he lied to his students thus. I fought earnestly against posing before my class. I tried to be natural and honest and frank, but it was bitter hard. What would you say to a soft, brown face, aureoled in a thousand ripples of gray-black hair, which knells suddenly? Do you trust white people? You do not, and you know that you do not. Much as you want to, yet you rise and lie. And say you do. You must say it for her salvation and the world's. You repeat that she must trust them, that most white folk are honest, and all the while you are lying, and every level silent eye there knows you are lying, and miserably you sit and lie on to the greater glory of God. W.B. Du Bois from Darkwater. From that day, in 1920 to this, nearly a century later, teachers lie to children about how this nation really is. And when they do, kids know, and a light goes out in their eyes. Schools become a prison where the truth is in a cell. When you smear mud into the mind of a child, you don't have to worry about pipelines. That child's mind is in prison already. The rest, but a mere formality. Several days ago, the city of Philadelphia decided to close almost 40 schools. 40 schools. Is that because of a population decline? No. It's because city governments have plundered school budgets. They have sold out and sold off the public school system. So education equals incarceration. For to imprison the mind is to imprison one's future, one's hopes, one's destiny. A people's revolution in education is necessary to put a light in the eyes of children again. Freedom schools must be organized again. And we must do what even the great Du Bois couldn't do. Tell children the truth, for they can handle it. They need to know that what they see, what they sense, what they feel is real. And valid and true. That's the beginning of education. So let us begin. I thank you. On the move, long live John Africa. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio. Sister Marpessa Kupendua is an internet warrior who, with keystrokes, fights racists, rednecks, and dragons, and has been doing so for years. She and I and her husband have known each other since our young adulthood, and she has been and is this movement's Ida B. Wells Burnett, writer, agitator, organizer, journalist, activist, rebel. That's who she is, rebel. And we are blessed to have her, her fire, her brilliance, her intelligence, her strong, unshakable will. Her work reaches thousands upon thousands of people the world over with the speed of light and the power of right. Sister Marpessa, you go, girl. Thank you for all you do and all you are. Nothing but love. From imprisoned nation, this is your brother, Mumia Abu Jamal. Education. The Reclamation Project. If we examine today's public school systems, especially those in Black and Latino communities, it is hard to envision a system that could be worse or more dysfunctional. We have, in fact, a miseducation system, one designed to do more harm than good. Many cities are experiencing a 50% dropout rate in cities like Baltimore. These dropout rates soar to over 70%. In the richest nation on earth, this is nothing short of scandalous. Why is this so? Because political elites in service to business elites are intent on selling off society's educational assets to the privatization industries. In a word, it's about money, pure and simple. It's a certain kind of politics that literally sells out children's educational inheritance. This is a politics where business interests reign supreme, even over the most fundamental function of the state, teaching its young. How do we begin to address this long train of failure? During the heyday of the movement, groups across the country erected their own schools, called freedom schools. They taught lessons based on the real world, real life, about history, politics, social change, and the like. And they gave kids a hook into where they stood in life. As today's baby boomers age, they present a great opportunity to utilize a valuable educational resource to rebuild freedom schools, to staff them and teach in them. By so doing, two social groupings help each other, with boomers helping children, and children providing a great opportunity for older people to volunteer and serve the community. Our public school system is largely non-functional, for the political system has corrupted its basic role in society. People in community, in a social movement, can rescue this failing institution by retasking it to serve the needs of children. By so doing, we learn valuable lessons from the past to draft it into the future, to knit two generations together and make the whole stronger. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Vive Jean Afrique, mes amis et mes camarades de Fédération du Parti Communiste International, bienvenue. Merci pour cette occasion de prendre la parole à vous. Le monde aujourd'hui est occupé dans les luttes pour vie, pour travail qui a élevé notre vie dans l'échec des pays, diminution tout le monde. Mes amis, nous avons occupé dans le monde avec croître avarice dans les capitalistes pour de plus en plus. Ils désirent manger le monde entier, cette capitaliste-là. Nous avons voir un monde qu'est un nouveau colonialisme avec pénétration de la terre-monde avec les outils militaires de l'Ouest. Nous avons besoin de libération. Nous avons besoin de liberté. Nous avons besoin de terminer des systèmes d'emprisonnement de masse dans les États-Unis. Mes amis des Françaises Républiques et la nation rassemblement ici, en ce moment, est le hall de résistance contre l'attaque du capitalisme. Mes amis, merci pour cette entrée. Dans la nation emprisonnée, je suis Mumia Abu Jamal. Merci.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
The blame on now I could know your father. You say they came and they took all we have possessed. They have to take the abuse and they have caused a present state within children history. Use our goodness and nourishment in the name of missionary. To learn from pain. Now it's up to us to gain some recognition. If we stop blaming, we could get a better condition. Wake up, world. Wake up, world.
Diasporic music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Jalali, a.k.a. Norman Otis Richmond, speaking to you from Southern California again. And on today's show, we have an action-packed show for you today. But before we talk about the show, I wanted to thank Chairman O'Malley Ishitella and Archie Shepp Chairman O'Malley Shatella gave me the space to do my show on diasporic music, and Archie Shepp gave me the concept of diasporic music, music made in the West, but not of the West. And on today's show, we have a couple of musical salutes. We're going to be saluting Brenda Holloway, Honeycomb, and the Young Hearts. These are groups and individuals from the Los Angeles, California area. We'll be talking about them as the show progresses. Also, we will interview Ayuko Babu, the executive director and founder of the Pan-African Film Festival. We're also going to have a discussion about Django Unchained with human rights attorney Izili Danto, and we will be speaking with Azili, and diasporic music continues.
Waiting.
You are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. I am joined on the line by Ayuku Babu, the executive director and the founder of the Pan-African Film Festival. And the Pan-African Film Festival is starting on February the 7th, and it will run for almost 2 weeks.
And to the 18th.
Could you give, to the 18th, from the 7th to the 18th, can you give us a thumbnail sketch of what is going to be taking place? This is the 21st edition of the Pan-African Film Festival.
First, I'd like to say good afternoon to everybody listening to Uhuru Radio, because it's one of the most conscious radio programs around the globe. So hello to everybody on the Internet and Skype. Happy to be here. First, I'll tell you a little bit about the festival, where it's located, so folks who are listening can get out, come in to see, because folks from all over the world come in to see this festival. We're the largest black film festival in the United States, and we have about 100 major films from where there's a black community, a black country film. We also have over 100 major fine artists, coaches, jewelers, sculptors from all over the world. This year we have some outstanding artists from one from Kenya, Jibril Diop, who is a fabulous artist. He's our artist of the year, and his painting will be our poster. So if you go online, by the way, our website is www.paff.org. It stands for PAFF, for Pan African Film Festival. So that's PAFF.org. You can see everything. You can pull the schedule down, the PDF file, and see what's going on. We also have folks who come from out of town. You can find accommodations on our website, hotels with discount, as well as things with some discount travel with South Africa Airlines. We opening night start on Thursday the 7th. We finish on the 18th. You won't need an airline ticket to go around the world. What we, the philosophical space of the festival, Pan-Africanism, and what we try to do as a result, we're very conscious of the fact that as a result of colonization, African peoples are spread all over the world. So a little bit of our story is everywhere. A little bit of our story is in Papua New Guinea. Our story is with Aborigines, a little bit of our stories in Belize, a little bit of our stories in New York, a little bit of our story in Accra, Ghana, New York City, all over the world, Haiti. So if we want to really understand the complex nature of our life and our history and our struggle, you have to really listen to everybody's story. So what we try to do is bring a piece of everybody's story so 10 days, you can sit and see the whole spectrum of ideas, things, emotions. We range from love stories to hardcore politics in one place, one space, one situation, so you can really just experience it. And we do the same thing with the art show. Some of this year's highlights that we're really excited about is, as I said, Nikkei Davis, one of the great batik artists of the world. Her batiks are in all the major museums in the world. She has a fabulous art gallery in Nigeria, in Lagos, in Lekki. If you can't get a chance to see her there, she will be here leading a delegation of six major Nigerian artists. Fine artists will be here at the festival at the Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Plaza, where the art show is adjacent to the Rave. It is on the corner of King and Crenshaw. Some of the films that I think will be relevant to Uhuru Radio audience, we have a film called Stones in the Sun. It's a Haitian film. And it's about that conflict that some of the people from Haiti are in Canada. This particular film is Canadian and Haitian, and other part of the family is left in Haiti. Dealing with all of the issues and the family and the friends who have gone to Canada, and you can substitute that for Europe or for the U.S. They are torn between living their own individual lives and the responsibility they have to the Haitian people and the responsibility they have to the Pan-African world. And it's a real interesting look at how they grapple with that, how they deal with it, and the consequences of dealing with it and the consequences of not dealing with it. It's a very insightful film. it will enrich you and give you some insight into what's going on, what's behind the earthquake, what's behind the cholera, what's behind the 300 years of French domination and the fight for liberation to the fabulous films from Haiti. And I urge everybody to
see. Ayuko, that's about all the time we have. Could you give us the how to people can, I guess, get to the website and so on and so forth?
Go on the website, which is PAFF.org, stands for Pan-African Film Festival. That's PAFF.org, as well as you can call us at 310-337-4737. That's 310-337-4737. Come out, enjoy. We plan to put these on DirecTV and digital download soon, so you'll be able to pick these up shortly when the festival is over.
Is it possible that we could interview you during the week, and then put a proper interview on next Sunday? Is that possible?
It may be possible. I hope it is, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We have been speaking with Ayuko Babu, the founder and executive director of the Pan-African Film Festival, and Diasporic Music continues with our tribute to Brenda Holloway, Honeycomb, and the Young Hearts.
Thank you. Thank you. Every little bit hurts. Every night I cry, every night I sigh, every night I wonder why you treat me cold, yet you won't let me go. This loneliness you're giving me, yeah. I can't go on giving my life away. Oh, come back to me, darling, you see. I can give you all the things that you wanted before. Away.